Hello, everybody. Welcome to Our Life in the Trinity and our Sunday sermon for today. We're doing August 7th, 2022, which is on the Christian calendar is proper 14. So we're going to begin today with the passage Luke 12, 32 to 40. And I'm going to read that in the New American Standard Bible. We're going to say a brief prayer. And we're going to get into our topic for today, and then we'll have communion together. And you want to get your elements ready for that. And then we're going to close with the benediction. So that kind of gives you an idea how we're going to go through this today. And I'm glad you're able to be here with us for that. So here is Luke 12, 32 through 40. Jesus said this, "Do not be afraid, little flock. For your Father has chosen gladly to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to charity. Make yourselves money belts which will do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven where no thief comes near nor moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Be dressed in readiness and keep your lamps lit. Be like men who are waiting for their master when he returns from the wedding feast, so that they may immediately open the door to him when he comes and knocks. Blessed are those slaves whom the master will find on the alert when he comes. Truly I say to you that he will gird himself to serve and have them recline at the table and will come up and wait on them. Whether he comes in the second watch or in the third and finds them so, blessed are those slaves. But be sure of this, that if the head of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have allowed his house to be broken into. You too be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect." Let's pray for a moment. Heavenly Father, I thank you that we can come together today to look at the Word of God, to think about what Jesus was talking about when he said that our treasure is in heaven. And not in the things of this life. And so we pray for your guidance, your wisdom today. Keep us centered in you, Jesus, and in your word, and write it on our hearts and minds by your Heavenly Spirit. We pray this all in your name, Jesus. Amen. So do you feel secure? I think we all have things where we wrestle with that sense of security, and we tend to put our security in the wrong things. It's easy to do. I'm guilty as the next person. And we do it without thinking sometimes, or even realizing that's what we're doing. Now, recently I've been doing this study on the book of Joshua, which is, I was thinking about entering into the new land, and so you read at the beginning of the book of Joshua, which is kind of interesting. It's where Israel had come to the edge of the Jordan River, and they were going to cross over into the promised land. And so the Lord, with Joshua, does this thing where he parts the waters of the Jordan River, and they walk across on dry land into the promised land. And the first city they come to, of course, is Jericho. Now, God tells Joshua to do this thing. He says, now you're going to put seven trumpeters in front, and then you're going to put the Ark of the Covenant with the priests carrying it behind that, and then you're going to put the army behind that, and they're going to walk around the city walls silently, and they're going to walk the first day, second day, third day. They're going to do it six times. And then on the seventh day, they're going to walk around silently seven times. But the last time, they're going to shout and the walls would fall down. And of course, this is what happens and strikes terror into the people's hearts in the land. But there's an interesting side story to this whole thing. And this is this. They go to the next city, and they're all pumped up. And the next city was Ai. And when they get there, they are chased off and slaughtered. And I mean, they had sent like this little force there thinking, oh, we got this, you know. And they got destroyed. Okay, so they couldn't figure out why. So the story goes, this is how the story goes, that there was this man named Achan. And it was his greed, his covetousness, even though it was hidden, that brought Israel to her knees. He brought suffering to his people, but he also brought incredible suffering to himself and his family. And he was just doing what all of us do. We tend to put our security in things. So what did he do? Well, when they were going to go around Jericho several times, right, and then they were going to shout and the walls were going to fall down, God said, when you go in this city, you get rid of everything. Now, except like gold and silver and stuff like that, that goes to God's treasury they were going to build, you know, the tabernacle and all that for the care of the Levites. So they were not to keep any of that to themselves. And well, Achan did. He kept some for himself because it just, you know, it was, how could he resist? Now there's another story that kind of struck me about this whole thing of where we put our security in and our treasure in, right? And this is the story early on. So we see this Achan in what he did brings great sorrow and suffering to Israel and to himself, which eventually we see when he gets exposed. Then Ananias and Sapphira, remember that? I don't know if you remember that story. That's in Acts. And it's the early church. And here they had this great experience. People were coming to faith in Christ. People who were in need, they had some people who had belongings and property, and they'd sell them, and they would help out those in need. And here we had Ananias and Sapphira come, and they give a donated amount to the apostles. And it was an oppressive amount of money. But what they were trying to do, unfortunately, was trying to impress everybody with how much they had and what they'd given and what good people they were. And when in reality, they had lied about how much they had given, and they kept part of it for themselves, but just didn't tell anybody. Which it was okay that they kept part of it for themselves. It's what they did and how they did it. It was all this facade of, you know, and it was the issue of people's opinion of them and what they did with their money and so on. So you have these things where people are putting their worth and security, their value, their treasure in the things of this life. And so what happens? Well, you know, if we are honest with ourselves, we look around us today, we're exposed to these things about greed and covetous dishonesty every day. Go to the grocery store. And I went the other day and I bought a bottle of something. It was about a bottle about this big, right? You want to know how much was in there when I opened it up? This much. Now that I ask you, you know, I understand that things settle, but that much? Something's not right here. So it's just like, what did I pay for? But that's just a gripe on my part. But you know, how many boxes of cereal have you opened up, or bags of chips? That's what slays me. You buy a bag of chips this big and it's half full. So I have these things about, you know, if you're gonna sell it, sell what you're selling, you know, or tell people what you're selling anyway. So, you know, it just I don't know if you've had the experience of going to the gas station and filling the tank of your car. Have you ever had this happen to you where you fill the tank of your car and you actually put more gallons in your tank than exist in the car that your car can take because somebody has messed with the pump? Sheesh. It slays me. Anyway, the fact of the matter is we're exposed to the reality of our human condition, how we treat money and the things in this life, and how we just get so caught up in that we're willing to sacrifice our personhood for the sake of stuff and things and money. The reality, though, that we forget is we don't exist in a vacuum. The decisions we make affect others. We may make $3 or $4 here, but those $3 or $4 affect somebody else. If you are given money from the government, where does that money come from? It doesn't come from a vacuum. It comes from people who have worked and have paid taxes and have given that. Well, unless they, make some up and print it, which isn't real money anyway. So, you can really, I'm not trying to get into some difficult topics here, but when it comes to things like money and like prestige and our worth and our value and our social status, and we can get really sensitive about these things and easily offended and hurt. Why is that? Because we don't remember that who we are, that our worth, our value, what should matter most to us, our security, isn't in any of those things. It's in Christ, as Paul said. In Christ we live and move and have our being. We've got something going on that's deeper, that's more valuable, more settled, more stable than the transience of this stuff. And ultimately, if we're honest with ourselves, which a lot of times we're not, we are totally dependent upon God for everything, including our existence. If it weren't for a kind and generous God, we would not take another breath. We would not get out of bed in the morning. We would not put our feet on the floor and walk across the floor. It is God's grace that any of us have an existence. And what's amazing about this God is that he's brought us into relationship with himself. He wants us to live in relationship with him and trust him to provide for our needs and to take care of us. So we need to take seriously Jesus' instruction, his encouragement, to not seek our security and our worth and our value in the things of this life, but in the heavenly realities, in our relationship with God in Christ by the Spirit. Jesus told his followers, don't be afraid. God happily, gladly desires you. He desires to give you the kingdom of God. He wants to give his kingdom to you. He wants you to be a part of his life, to be a part of what he's doing in this world. And think about God, his transparency. He's willing to open up part of himself to us by God himself taking on human flesh to live here on this human earth and experience what we experience so that we can get to know him and have a relationship with him. He's willing to be transparent to the point of dying our death and rising again. And he's generous. Look at what he gave us. The Father gives us the Son. The Father and Son give us the Spirit. They give us food, clothing, life, breath, this world. If you take a walk in a forest glade, an incredible beauty of what God made. Did God have to do that? No. Did he have to create the capacity for water to flow down in waterfalls, and to have that, just that flow and that power and that beauty and that. No, he didn't have to do that, but he did that. Why? Because he loves us. He gives us an incredible world to live in. How generous God is with us. And God is this God of integrity. You know, we may not think God is a God of integrity, but, you know, he is. He's faithful. And he tells the truth. He is the God of truth. The spirit of truth. And Jesus is the way, the truth, the life. Right? We got some real integrity going on. And the thing is you and I, made in his image, are meant to reflect his nature, his likeness. So we should look like Christ, and Christ is the image bearer of God himself. So let's go back to our stories we started with, the story of Achan. Achan forgot something. What did he forget? First, he forgot who God was. He forgot that his God, the God of Israel, was his creator and his redeemer. This is the God that not only made everything, that he had learned that, but this is the God who brought Israel out of Egypt and made them his very own people in covenant with them. This is who God was. And Achan forgot that who he was. He was one of those people God had chosen, to that he had brought into relationship with himself, to live in daily fellowship with the creator and redeemer of Israel. So I think it's important for us to think about who God is and who we are in Christ. So going on, let's look at Achan entering Jericho that day, as he went in with the army to do what he had been instructed to do. He was participating with what God was doing with Israel. He was supposed to leave some things or destroy some things, bring the rest to God, and to do God's will. But somewhere along the line, as he's doing that, the treasure that he found, the garments, the gold and the silver, became more real to him than his relationship with his creator and redeemer. That was more real to him. And so he hid it, and he kept it to himself. And of course it cost him his life and his family and so on. But how often do we allow the treasure we come upon, whatever it may be, for us, you know, we each have one thing that we tend to be gravitate toward. When does that become more important to us, more real to us than our relationship with God through Christ in the Spirit, where that becomes our security and what we count on, depend on? So think about Ananias and Sapphira. Here's this couple. They want to impress everybody, so they sell their land. They keep a portion for themselves, but they pretend that they give all of it to the apostles for their use. So what are they trying to do? Trying to be something they're not, right? So what did they forget? Well, they forgot who Jesus was, didn't they? They forgot that he was their Savior, and he was a risen Lord. He was present right there by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gives us life, gives us breath. And at any moment, he could take that away. He didn't have to give us breath or life, right? We forget sometimes who God is, who Jesus is, who the Holy Spirit is. And they forgot not only who God is, Christ, the Holy Spirit, but they forgot who they were. They were Father's children, saved by grace, by faith in Christ. You know, they wanted the people's opinion of them to be good. What about God's opinion? Yeah. So what good, though, is all this money? Sometimes we have money, we have stuff. What good is any of that without an intimate relationship with God? The one who made us. The one who sustains us. The one who redeemed us in Christ and brought us into relationship with himself. Now, economic hard times are real. We struggle financially. Sometimes it seems like a lot of people today want to keep us enslaved by debt. You know, just it's so incredibly easy to borrow money that you cannot pay back. And I've struggled with that. And so we try to do the best we can. But the reality is in our culture today, in people today, all of us, unless we all surrender to God, to the reality he's come for us in Christ. He's done what is necessary to come into relationship with him. He wants to care for us and help us and take care of us. He'll show us how to use our money wisely, and he'll show us when we need to be honest and truthful, and he'll help us be humble and not be so worried about everyone's opinion of us. He does all that. He's done all that in Christ. He draws us into relationship with himself. He wants to fill us with his Spirit, enables to do more than we can ask or imagine. He wants to provide for us. He wants to do what he says, give us everything we need for life and godliness. He wants to do that for us. But when we get caught up where our focus is here in the tangible physical world, we forget that Christ came to live this life. He lives in us now by the Holy Spirit. So wherever our life is, whatever we're doing, how we spend our money, how we spend our time, the things we own and what we do with them, that all is a part of our relationship with God in Christ. And we participate in what he's doing in this world. Now we use it and the choices we make, our motives, our desires, our longings, all of these things are open to the one who is willing to endure crucifixion, the fire, the baptism of the crucifixion of death and resurrection in our place and on our behalf. And Christ comes to dwell in us by the Spirit. He doesn't want us to struggle and to have difficult times. His baptism is a baptism of fire in the Spirit. It's meant to transform, to heal, to regenerate how we look at him, how we look at things, how we look at money, how we look at all the things in this world, including popularity, our belongings, all the things we have. And we begin to look at them from a different point of view, where they become secondary. Blessings, gifts from God, things we steward, right? Whereas the most important thing is our relationship with God in Christ by the Spirit. So God comes and does this incredible work in us. Do you long to feel secure? I mean, does this, you know, this world can make us feel really insecure. I want to feel secure too. You know, as a woman especially, I struggle to feel secure. So security, though, is not found in the things of this life. They come and they go. They could disappear tomorrow. You can't count on money. You can't count on belongings. You know, things wear out. They get stolen. They get lost. Where is our true security? What can we really count on? Who can we really count on? In Christ. He made everything. He sustains everything. He redeemed everything. brought us into life with the Father and the Spirit, and he's working actively to restore and renew everything. It says, behold, in Revelation, behold, I make all things new. Wow. So we have an incredible hope in him. He is our true security. We can hang on to him when economic times get difficult and we're not sure how we're going to pay our bills. Where do we go? We can go first to him and invite him to do what only he can do. You'll be surprised how often he comes through for you if you go to him first. We're invited to surrender to him, to live in relationship with him, and to realize God loves us. He wants what's best for us. He wants to help us and provide for us. He wants us to live in relationship with him now and forever. And whatever we do in this life with our stuff, with our money, he wants us to do that in Christ, with him, in relationship with him, allowing him to provide, to support, to encourage, to carry us through, to give us that security, that assurance. You know, he's got it. He'll help us. He'll take care of us. So, you know, we can be encouraged as we gather to our communion table today. Encourage that Jesus has offered us himself. We like to affirm the essentials of our faith. We died with Christ. We rose with Christ. We share in his glory both now and forever. We share in what he has done and is doing and will do by the Spirit. And as we take the elements today, think about, is there anything, you know, let the Holy Spirit lead in this, and we'll pray about it. Is there anything that you see that the Spirit says to you that maybe you've been putting your security in, that you've been counting on, that maybe God wants you to let go of and put Christ in that place? Let's pray. Father, thank you for what you've done for us in Christ. Thank you for the good word you give us, that you, everything belongs to you, and you share it with us, and you let us enjoy it and share it with others. And but Lord, if there is something we have put our security in that we're counting on, that you want us to let go of, we pray right now that you would reveal that to us. Lord, grant us the grace to let go, to surrender fully that thing, whatever it is, surrender fully to you and let you have it. And put our faith and trust in you and you alone. We receive, Jesus, all you've done for us in your sacrificial offering. And we thank you and ask all this in Jesus, in your heavenly name. Amen. So the night he was betrayed, Jesus took bread, blessed and broke it, offering it, saying, take, eat, this is my body broken for you. Jesus was willing to offer all that he was to us. We receive, Jesus, your body. He also offered the cup of wine, and he blessed it, and this is my blood poured out for you, he said. He poured himself out for us. What more? What a greater gift than the pouring out of your life for another. There really isn't any anger. What do we have in this life that's more important than that? Not much. Thank you, Jesus. We receive your life for our life. Now may the Lord, who knows and understands everything about you and has chosen you for his own inheritance, surround you with his love and fill your hearts with joy. In the name of the Father, Son, and Spirit, God bless you. I hope you have a great week. Come and see us again at Our Life in the Trinity. God bless you.